in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm Matt, and I'm here with Jesse.
Hello.
And Shirley.
Hi.
They know who we are.
What if this is someone's first podcast?
I actually wasn't expecting
that. Then they
that.
Will know who we are.
Okay. This week we're doing a What You Doing, to where we talk about what we're doing in our lives that's geeky and fun. We'll start with books, and we'll start with Shirley, who's been reading lots and lots of books.
I have been actually reading one book. I'm still stuck on Color World, which I'm halfway through. But I've been watching The Yellow King by...
You've been watching it? Reading it?
No, reading it. Gosh, reading The Yellow King by Williamson. And it's really interesting. Like, it... You know, we're used to all these shoot 'em up and... shoot 'em up. You know, scary alien monsters jumping out and things like that. But these are just like creepily, eerily,
okay,
like little, little teeny bits of horror in it. And right now, it is a compilation of short stories. So I am on The Yellow Sign right now, or I just finished The Yellow Sign. And yeah, it was pretty darn crazy. Like, I know why people go insane after reading this stuff.
Right on.
So, insanity ensues.
Jesse, what are you reading?
Well, it's been a while since I've read it, but I've been talking about it lately. It's called The Last Babylon.
Okay.
It's a book that was written in the 50s about what would happen if there was a nuclear attack.
Okay.
It was written in such detail that the government went, hey, would you write pamphlets for us? Because we had no idea this stuff would happen, but it makes sense.
What?
Yeah.
That he goes, just makes me question my government.
Well, he goes in all the scientific backings and looking things up, like radiation damage.
Like, did they not look this shit up before? They were like, hey, we're going to drop this bomb.
They just never really thought of it.
Oh my
they sure
God.
Didn't think about telling people what could happen. The only problem the book kind of has is it's got the 1950s prejudices in it, so it's a little awkward. But yeah, it's a great book. It's a very realistic example of post-apocalyptic society, what would happen if it was to happen. It's not action-packed. It's very, they're just trying to survive. His daughter sees the mushroom clouds in the distance and goes blind, and they have to deal with that.
Yeah.
They talk about the fact that a lot of them were stockpiling food and stuff because it happens in Florida right around harvest time. So it really kind of helps them out a little bit. But one person had bees.
Bees.
And they did really well because that was the only source of sugar and sweets after that. So they traded for what they needed.
Yeah.
Because they had that. They also, raiders happened, things like that happened.
That's
eventually.
Why you want to be a beekeeper because you're going to be the only one that sugar.
It kind of kicked along those lines. But,
So speaking of mushroom clouds, have I talked to you about the Fallout kid?
Fallout kid? No.
From Fallout.
Okay.
He's got his thumb out.
Yep.
I didn't
you know what he's doing?
That.
What's he doing?
His thumb is up, and if you look at him, there's a glow on him from that direction. If the mushroom cloud is bigger than your thumb, you're in the radiation zone.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
So that's actually, he's not being all cheery and like thumbing up,
he's
like thumbs up
he's
something.
Gonna die.
He's seeing if he needs to move
yeah.
the opposite direction.
I didn't realize that that was a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and now you know.
Yeah. But yeah, the book even comes up with a realistic reason of why it could happen at the time. There was a hostile altercation in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really state with who. An enemy combatant flies into one of their airspaces. They go to shoot it down. It flies back over neutral territory where there's not supposed to be fighting.
Yeah.
The Allied soldier didn't realize it. Shoots him down, and he hits a train that is packing ammunition.
Oh, okay.
They assume America bombed the neutral territory.
Oh.
That triggers the nukes to start flying.
I see.
Crazy.
But yeah, it's a great book. Very realistic.
Do they survive to the end? Oh, well, he wrote it.
Don't spoil that. I
mean, let's not spoil the end.
So what is it called?
Alas, Babylon.
The Last Babylon.
Alas.
A Last Babylon?
Yeah.
Alas. A-L-A-S.
A Last Babylon.
Yeah, the protagonist of the story's brother is at a airbase.
Mm-hmm.
And he always stated if there was any problems, they're not allowed to contact people, and their messages are always screened. He would just send a message at Last Babylon to get ready for something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he gets that message, and then things start happening.
Nice.
Huh.
It sounds interesting. It sounds very documentary, but I keep thinking of, like, Terminator, so.
Okay. All right. So I have... I have restarted The Wheel of Time because I like that series because it's good, Jesse.
So you'll get about book five and quit?
Did you get the last spring?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Because someone's supposed to buy the next book but hasn't read the previous book. No, I haven't. No, because I started over. I was like, I don't remember what happened last, so I'll read the whole thing again.
That was... lot of walking, leaves blowing in the wind.
No, they're, no, I'm still in book one.
Strange
they're,
dreams.
They're still
this
fleeing.
Is not the.
They're still fleeing the
Lord of the Rings.
The Trollocs and the Madral.
Oh,
and,
okay. Yeah.
They're headed to Tarvalon. They haven't even made it there yet.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really.
That journey is long.
It is, but it.
Like I was saying.
But it also starts setting up. Like now that I've read it, like read the rest of it, it starts setting up a lot right there.
Yeah.
Like right away, it starts to really get in and really deal with those.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that's where you get really introduced to a lot of the characters too.
You get to know the characters. You get to learn to meet Elias, the wolf brother, and see what's happening with Perrin, which that was interesting. And then you get to see Egwene start to
somebody else pronounces it differently.
Learn her that she's going to become powerful with the power. You'd see Nynaeve be a jerk, but you start to see. I didn't realize she softened this early because she has a thing for Lan. It's really interesting, and I really, really like the character Tom Merrill. The more I read, the more I want to see more of him.
I don't remember Tom.
The Gleeman.
Oh,
the Gleeman, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I really like him a lot, so. But yeah, I've been reading the first book again. I'm about halfway through. We haven't done one of these in a while, so. Yeah, I've been reading it for about a month. I don't read as much. Every time I open my iPad, I get distracted by apps or something, so.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with me. I have portable gaming things like the 3DS and the Vita.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, a book? Yeah,
they may have some meditations on self-control.
Well, it's not about self-control. It's about evaluating my free time, and I would rather spend it shooting things than...
Yeah.
Let's move on to podcasts. Jesse?
I actually have some podcasts I've been listening to lately. Welcome to Night Vale.
Okay.
I don't remember how I found this, but I have
Johnny.
Always been a huge fan. No? I didn't know he talked about it. If he had, I just completely didn't listen to him, which I probably should have because I had to find
oh
it sooner.
Oh, my gosh. Like, he talked about it.
Jesse?
On Dude, what you doing?
Jesse,
really?
I've also talked about it.
Really? See,
yes.
I never heard of this before.
You're a jerk.
It was on X-Men podcast you made me listen to that I really like.
I didn't
explain the X-Men.
Wait, have you had your 35th birthday?
No.
When's that?
Next year.
Oh, because I was going to say, dang, you're just really old. That's why you're forgetful.
1 year off. But no, welcome to Night Vale. I grew up listening to Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon days, and I absolutely loved it. And this is that if it happened in a Cthulhu-induced realm.
Okay, I don't think he described it like that, so that's a new perspective.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It really is.
Now that makes... See, what you said makes me want to watch it. When I heard him ramble about it, I just...
It's as though George is telling you about this strange town.
Then
it does not seem like George wrote that.
I won't believe it.
It does feel like it.
It feels like George.
A lot of things. I've had to listen to some of the podcasts twice because it's just weird, but... Yeah, I mean, it's everything ties in together in each episode. Oh, it's creepy at times.
Yeah.
Very creepy at times. Everything is wrong.
That's the way the King in Yellow is. One of the stories, they're just off and like, bleh. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to download a couple episodes we can listen to on the way to Chicago.
Yeah, it's also
awesome,
done
comically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very comically.
Oh, I forgot. I had another book.
Too late.
No, books are over. Sorry.
The other podcast I'd found was, again, due to Explain the X-Men, which I'm apparently just listening to find other podcasts to listen to. But it's called Sailor Business. When I was young...
It's like Sailor Moon?
I watched Sailor Moon.
Yep.
And it's these two guys explaining in depth like Explaining X-Men, each episode of Sailor Moon.
How did you find this? Because I don't remember hearing them talk about it.
One of the guest hosts.
Oh, this last time?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's pretty deep. I haven't caught up yet.
Oh, you're still behind.
Yeah. They had a guest host who, when they stated what are they on, they said Sailor Business. And I thought, that sounds like Sailor Moon. I should see if that's Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was and like it President Business and Sailor Moon mashed together.
No. Apparently they say that a couple times in the show, which I don't remember. Again, I haven't watched it since I was like 14, and it was a lot less creepy to watch high school kids run around doing things.
But yeah.
Anyway, so you, yeah, Sailor Business.
Yep, and those are the two new podcasts. I'm still listening to all the others. But.
I want to highlight a couple of things, but I want to go back to my books, because I'm reading The Froder's Guide to Ireland.
Oh. Why would you be reading something like that?
Because we're going to Ireland. In fact, this podcast will go up Saturday we're in Ireland. Like, our plane probably just took off while you're listening to this. So we're going to Ireland for a week, and we've got a lot of stuff to do there, and, you know. You want to know what you're getting into while you're there. So Shirley and I have been reading through that. Found a lot of cool places. Thanks to the... Actually,
I'm hoping so. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we won this trip, and because of the way it happened, we got these stays, but we weren't sure where we wanted to go. And one of the stays, one of the last places we were going to go, it's just like, I don't know. And then we found this cool something called the Kylemore Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like...
And it's all the way over on
it's
the...
It's by nothing.
East, rises in the east, sets in the west.
West.
It's on this side.
Yeah, that'd be the west. It goes west to east.
Oh, crackers. Okay, so it's all the way on the west side, at west coast, where all the moors and everything are, but it's right there on the ocean, so... I don't know. What are moors?
Why is it a moor?
Swamp. Okay. Moors are swamp.
Yeah, see? That's...
Swampy. So I guess it's going to be kind of swampy. Okay, so... Have you seen the Daniel Radcliffe movie, The Woman in Black?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then you have nothing that I can compare it to. Because there's like moors around there.
Yes. Daniel Radcliffe's the kid from Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. No, I haven't seen it. I've been wanting to. But.
It's like up in the mountains on the western coast.
Yeah.
Like we had to go, the big town, like what they consider the capital of the area is 1,100 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, we're going to go to Kylemore Abbey, and there's a bunch of stuff up there, and then there's a bunch of stuff all over, but we're going to hit the Castle Blarney, so I can kiss the Blarney Stone, and then whatever, you're going to kiss it, too. We're going horseback riding. That's going to be awesome. We're going to the Guinness Storehouse.
Oh, and we were going to go to Jameson, but...
We might on the way back.
Yeah.
But at the Guinness Storehouse, we're taking the connoisseur experience. And it's going to be fantastic. They're going to let us try all their beers.
All of them.
Are you going to golf at all?
No.
It was suggested that we should golf.
It really is.
You know, you and I thought that's maybe like we could do, you know, nine.
Putt-putt?
Or putt-putt?
The thing is, we're so bad at it. I don't know that it would be like an all-day excursion.
Yeah. It's like an eight-hole course. It's all day.
Okay. That comes in nines and 18s. I know golf. Enough to do that. Anyway, so that's the thing I've been reading. So let's get back into podcasts, because I want to talk about the podcasts I've been listening to. By the way, I downloaded 8 episodes of Welcome to Nightvale just for you.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
That was so, you know.
I know.
Kind of you.
I found a couple of new podcasts.
What'd you find?
Would you stop?
So what'd you find?
I found The Memory Palace. Have you listened to Stuff You Missed in History Class? Jesse?
No.
You should listen to Stuff You Missed in History Class. They're short. They're like 15 minutes, 45 at the most, but they're usually 15
to 30
minutes.
Is that the one with the nasal chick on it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I can't listen to that.
This is the Memory Palace.
I would love to listen to that, but yeah.
This is the Memory Palace with Nate DeMayo, and I only know that because he says that at the beginning of every episode. This is the Memory Palace with Nate DeMayo. And he used to do NPR work, so he has that NPR voice.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like, the longest one is 12 minutes. They're like, hey, did you know that they trained bats to drop bombs in World War II? Because they did. This has been Nate DeMayo with the Memory Palace. Like, it's longer than that. But, I mean, he just tells a short little thing, explains about what he learned, and then moves on. And that's it. That's the whole thing. I listened to 73 episodes in 4 days.
Thing is, Matt told me about that episode, and I'm wondering, like, how many bats did the Japanese kill in World War II?
Yeah, because
I'm very sad.
They train these bats to carry these bombs.
I was traumatized.
Which freaked out the Japanese, so the Japanese just started killing all the bats.
Is that not ridiculous?
Well, they are bats.
What? Bats are the most adorable creatures on the face of this earth.
Yeah, they are. They are pretty adorable, honestly.
I love little bats. I wanna work in bat rescue at some point in my life. Maybe that's what I'll do when I retire. Bat rescue.
So I've also been listening to a podcast called Tabletop Champions. I'm not sure if I like it or not, because it's really echoey, which I understand ours was echoey for a while, for a very long while.
When you say echoey, is like really prominently echoey?
Or... Have you listened to our old podcast?
I have not listened to any of our podcasts.
You should listen to like one from the beginning and then one from recent. Yeah, because I was just difference. I was blown away by the
really?
Change. Yeah.
I've also been listening to the Dungeon Masters block, which is about helping Dungeon Masters run their games, specifically for 5th edition. It's been okay. It's a little less advice and a little more what they're doing, which it's good. It's not bad.
Is it something specific for 5th edition, like they're teaching the rules, or is it more like how to tell a story?
How to tell a story, how to deal with players, how to deal with the world, but they are specifically running 5th edition games. So
okay. What's it called again?
Dungeon Masters Block. Also been listening to Rachel and Miles X-Plane, the X-Men.
Yeah, that's a great podcast for getting ideas for other podcasts to listen to.
It's also just generally a good podcast. But yeah, those are the big ones I've been listening to. I have the new season of FSL Tonight, almost all of it downloaded. I will be listening to that probably on the plane to Ireland, because I want to listen to the whole season at once. I think that's it, though. Surely any podcasts, any new music? Did you find any new music?
So I don't have any podcasts that I've been listening to lately because of work.
Okay.
What about music?
No. I've just like been playing my podcast list because we are our Spotify list because we started working out again.
I forgot about music.
Go ahead.
If you have Spotify, you should listen to the group called The Tiny. I found them from Welcome to Night Vale. The Tiny.
That sounds amazing.
The Tiny. Their song Closer was on Welcome to Night Vale. They have a section at the end of it with music that fits their creepy mood. And it's a creepy song. They also have one called Pet Cemetery, which I absolutely love.
Okay.
But it's just kind of an independent group. It's interesting.
Okay, cool. We'll get into what games? I just downloaded a bunch of games. Actually, what have I been playing? I've been playing the crap out of Slay.
You're talking about apps.
That's a good point. So I've been playing nothing games-wise. No, I take that back. I've been playing Fallout 3, Fallout 3.
Yeah, but the new one's coming out, so you have to get ready for it.
I'm also in Fallout withdrawal, because I love Fallout. I've been playing Fallout quite a bit. I just played Cthulhu Realms. We got back from Gen Con, and I've just been busy editing a lot, so I haven't had a lot of time to do games. Necessarily. Jesse, any games from you?
Yes. For the 3DS, I just recently got a game called Little Battler Experience, which is this game where you get these robots, and you customize them by changing out different parts. You fight other people. It's a very Pokemon-esque game, and it is kind of a younger audience game. I do like the fact that early on in the storyline, they do something I always felt like should happen in Pokemon, where the bad guys use the robots to try to shoot the good guy.
Yeah.
Instead of just fighting his robots.
Okay.
But that seems interesting. Haven't had a lot of time with it yet. I've got Dungeon Travelers 2 for the Vita. It's an interesting dungeon crawling game. Not really a lot to say about that. The best game I've gotten so far is called Lost Dimensions. It's for the Vita. And this...
So no one will play it?
Not very many people will play it. This group of 12 people are gathered together to fight a big bad guy called The End. So yeah, it's a Japanese storyline. They're always weird. But as you fight, he tells you there's a traitor in the group.
Okay.
So after 3 or 4 battles, you have to talk to everybody, figure out who's been doing wrong, and pick somebody to execute.
Okay.
And then you move on to the next level. As you move on to the next level, he says, well, actually, there's another person. As you continue progressing up, you have to keep killing the current villain, traitor. if you don't kill the traitor when you go fight the bad guy, they join the bad guy's side instead of helping you fight the bad guy.
Okay.
So there's a lot of...
So how do you know, is there always a new traitor or is there one traitor and you have to get them?
There's always a new traitor. And it changes every time you play the game.
Okay.
So it's completely random who it'll be. My first traitor was like the best fighter I had in the group, which is figures. You have one healer in the group, so I figure he'll be the next traitor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's completely random. You have to pick certain people to talk to. Certain people have better information than others. You kind of have to go off of that.
Okay.
But it's an interesting game.
Yeah. Surely any games?
No, not really. Just apps.
Okay. Well, why don't you start on apps then?
I mean, except for Cthulhu Realms, which we played last night. So that was a lot
of
fun.
How did that game go?
That was a lot of fun, except I got beat.
Oh, I forgot. I've been playing D&D.
Oh, you have been.
You've been playing D&D?
I've been playing 5th edition D&D.
You've been running campaigns, too.
Yeah, I've been running 5th edition D&D for encounters at one of the local game stores. That's going
pretty
good.
Heroes Emporium.
Yeah, I should plug Heroes Emporium. We're like
Heroes Emporium. I was like,
one of the local game stores that we won't mention because we won't mention.
Will not be mentioned.
Heroes Emporium. Good. It's a good place. It's an emporium for heroes, actually.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you were saying about apps, Shirley.
My new job has blessed me with a Galaxy S6. So.
Oh wow! So you got a real phone.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so what I did was I was like, oh, all the things that I have on my iPhone, I will download on my my new phone. But in that, the App Store, I like the way the App Store is set up because, wow, the recommendations are just amazing. So I found Cooking Fever. I don't know if either of you played that before.
No.
It's where you literally, people walk up to the counter, they request food, and you have to serve them in a certain amount of time. Or, one, you lose money the more time that it takes to serve them, and you lose your tip. Or, you'll lose the customer altogether, so you lose your money and your tip. The way that you serve people better is you have to upgrade your equipment and food. And what it is it's a whole world. So you have a bakery and each certain place is unlocked at a certain level. Like you get up to a certain level and it unlocks the pizzeria or the bakery or the Chinese food place. But the concept at every single store is the same. You can upgrade the lobby, which brings more people in, and then you upgrade your equipment and food, which brings more people in. But you just get paid, and the more you get paid, the more tips that you get, the more you're able to get equipment. So I did that through the very first one that you get is the burger joint, and I did that through the burger joint. Then I started doing it for the pizzeria, and it's just repetition at that time, and it got boring. There's no real challenge after you finish all the levels for the burger joint. But then I was looking for something that was similar to WoW, and I can't remember the game that I had on my iPhone because I deleted it, but I found Arcane Quest 2, and it's a move and play. Like, you move, you fight the monsters with your character, and you have two characters that are in your troop, and you can build your troop as it goes. And then iLore for WoW. Basically, it looks like a library, and it tells you, like, different stories of the different people that are in the game and different realms and things like that. So those are the three that I've been using in my Amazon Kindle app.
Okay. I am going to go next, Jesse.
We see. I've been playing.
So, because I've been playing Slay. Have you heard of Slay, Jesse?
Yeah, Slay's a good game. If you'd ever read my reviews.
If you wrote it.
Oh, I did. It's up there. Oh,
okay. So, I've been playing Slay a lot. I actually went out and purchased the basic game, so I have a ton.
Yeah, there's a lot of gameplay with it.
And then I bought another map level, just one of them, one of the 30 or whatever that comes with extra. But I've been playing Slay a lot. I'm about halfway through the basic levels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing them in order.
Your sleigh is very different than my sleigh.
It's because I purchased mine.
I purchased mine, too.
Yeah, this is what mine looks like.
Wow, it must be a new sleigh.
Might. I also have been playing Blockheads, which is kind of like Minecraft, but not Minecraft. What?
When you said you'd finished half of it, I was thinking, oh my god, you've played a lot.
We'll talk about that here in a little bit. That is completely different. Blockheads is kind of like Minecraft, but different. It's all side scroll kind of deal.
Is it any good?
It's all right. It's not bad. It's harder to tell what things are since you can't like look at them and it pops up. Oh, that's a coal block or whatever. I've not found a lot of caves, so there's not a lot to explore. I got a special hula skirt because I went to the Dateline. Don't know. I don't know. It's all right. It's not terrible. I'd rather play Minecraft, but it's on my iPad, so it makes it easier. And then I also found a game. I used to play a game that I forget the name of. Man, what was the name of that? Anyway, there's another game that they put out called Crimson, which is you play pirates in a like Victorian era steampunk situation.
Oh yeah,
it's good, but there's only 8 levels for the free game, and then you have to buy a $2.99 upgrade, and then you have to buy another one after those 8 levels. And
have you bought the upgrade?
I bought the first one. It was okay. Now I have a sub, but it's only you only play through the missions, and I don't know if $3 is good enough for 8 missions.
See, I if it's the one I remember it is, and it sounds a lot like it. I bought the upgrade, and the challenge hike went up a lot.
It did. It did.
To the point of I no longer felt like the game was as fun as it used to be.
Okay.
I don't mind fair. A challenge.
Yeah, but these get rough. They do.
Yeah.
And then what else did I buy? What else have I been playing? Oh, I've been trying to play Fallout Shelter, but I'm very angry with that game because it won't quit crashing. And it should not be so heavy that it makes my iPad crash all the time. That's it. That's the end of the discussion. Like,
yeah.
It's fun. I had a nice shelter. I had Alistair Tenpenny.
Oh, really? They didn't know they had.
I had Amada. Well, you get Amada. You get somebody automatically, but you can buy lunchboxes, and lunchboxes might have people in them.
Okay.
But I ended up with like 20 people. I had a radio tower to bring more people in. I kept sending Amada out to go do things, and like it was all working out well. It is kind of like Tiny Towers, but there's more. There's way more.
See, I need to give the app another chance. When I got it, I was expecting a Fallout-themed Tiny Towers, and it is not enough like Tiny Towers.
You're right.
Book.
There is some Tiny Tower elements to it, but yeah. It is not quite that.
Yeah.
And then we also picked up Sentinels of the Multiverse, the app. I think, did we talk about that? We didn't talk about that earlier.
A little.
Well, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast. It is essentially the card game, but on an app that you get to play, you can play by yourself. It's really, really good. It works through all of the math and everything you need to do by itself, which is a big help because sometimes
there's
just
a lot of math.
Sometimes you don't have to remember all of the bonuses or all the things you missed. Or I've beaten all of the villains. I've played all of the heroes. I need to go out and buy the expansion, but you know the base game is $10. There are 3 expansions currently out. They're $1.99, $4.99, and $4.99. Or you can buy the Season 1 expansion that gets you, like, 9 different expansions total for $20. So
I really like the fact they called it the Season 1 expansion, which means there's even going to be more after
this. Yeah, when we talked to them at Gen Con, because they were at Gen Con, that's where we talked about it briefly.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
When we talked to them at Gen Con, they were like, yeah, this is Season 1. I was like, is there going to be a Season 2? And they were like, yeah, we've already had good sales. It's just a matter of getting everything programmed. Which, hey, you know, that's fair, because some of the stuff in... some of the stuff in the later games is a little more complicated. Like, I'm surprised they have Arch and Adept already, because his is do a thing, now do a thing, now do another thing, do 3 more things, and then do another thing. Like, he bounces a lot, so that makes it a little rougher. But those are the apps I've been playing. What about you, Jesse?
I have a few new apps once I get out of Slay and get back into my notes. Well, we was talking about Card Wars earlier.
Yeah.
At the...
During the Gen Con,
Gen Con thing. I keep forgetting it's a separate podcast. But there's an app called Card Wars. It's like $4.99, so I bought it, thinking that it's going to play kind of like the actual card game Card Wars, which it does a lot. The problem is there's a lot of freemium stuff tossed into it, and I don't like a lot of freemium in my pay-to-play games. Yeah. I can understand if there was, like, you don't start off with all the cards, and you get cards as you go along. That's perfectly fine. But you only have a certain number of cards you can own unless you get gems, and gems are the freemium currency.
Wait, hold on.
You can only own, like, 50 cards, which isn't enough to play all the decks.
That's really dumb.
Other than that, it's kind of a fun game. I've also bumped into, back in the day, I used to love Puzzle Quest. Okay. It was a great game. It's a matchery role-playing game, kind of like Bejeweled, but it actually had a storyline.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to type in Puzzle Quest just to see if I could find it on an app to play it, and I found Adventure Time Puzzle Quest.
Okay.
If you like Adventure Time and you like match-three puzzle games, this is the game for you. It works out great. It matches well. I also found Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. You get comic covers, and the comic covers turn into your characters, and then you match certain colors. Like, you start off with Iron Man, and if you match three red, it gives him a little bit of power. You get enough power built up. You get to do a power blast, ion propulsion thingy that Iron Man does, whatever it's called.
Okay.
All right. And it has all of Marvel characters in it. I've gotten Storm so far. It seems interesting.
Okay. We'll move on to movies.
And TV.
We started the first part of Enemy at the Gates last night. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which was interesting, but it's a slow movie.
Enemy at the Gates. That's the two snipers?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's in my top 10.
Fair.
There's a really good cast.
Yeah, I forgot how bloody it was. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I forgot how bloody it was. It was a lot bloodier than I thought, but it's really good. I've been watching through Archer. I watched the first two seasons of Archer. I'm on season 3 now. Been rewatching Mad Men, because I've been rewatching Mad Men. Archer's interesting. It's funny.
I keep hearing that. I've never actually tried it yet. It's on my list of things to try.
You're getting into the danger zone, Jesse.
I know most of the memes that are tied to it.
those are the big ones. We've been watching a little bit of Supernatural and X-Files, but mm-hmm. we can't watch those late at night anymore.
No. Because we keep having, like, bad dreams.
I forgot how scary X-Files actually is.
It does sometimes. It crosses lines occasionally.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with. Because you want kind of that creepiness in it, but man.
Not right before you go to bed.
Yeah, we watched the other night, and then we're like, okay, to bed. And we read for, like, half an hour, and then we went to sleep, and both of us just did not sleep well that night.
Yeah, like, tossing and turning the whole night.
Yeah, so.
Somebody's looming over our bed. Waking up. It's pretty crazy. Plus, you know, reading King in Yellow while I'm right before I go to bed isn't good either. So I have, like, both of them on top of each other.
Yeah.
So. I can't think of anything else I've been watching. What about you, Shirley?
That's about it. And then Once Upon a Time, the season 4, I'm almost to the end of that.
Okay.
So that's all I've been watching.
I keep planning on watching that also.
Huh?
I keep planning on watching that also. I keep hearing good things.
I like it. I like the storyline. I like where they're going with it. It's interesting how they wrap all of the evil queens and villains together, how they attach each like storyland, like Alice in Wonderland, or Wonderland is a place, but it's attached to, you know, Snow White's realm, which is attached to Cinderella's realm, which is, you know, and it just goes on from there. It's pretty cool.
Have you ever read the comics Fables?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Okay, I was just wanting to see how close they are. It's not.
No, Jesse had that, or I'm sorry, Eric had that when I lived with him.
Oh, okay.
Yes and no. I would say my big criticism of Once Upon a Time is that they got to the end of the first season, and I really feel like they were like, oh, man, what do we do now?
Oh.
And they ramped it up a little bit, and it wasn't bad. It felt artificially done. It was like, oh, we told this great story, and now what are we going to do? That thing. And it just, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get that feeling because it's just, I felt like the story integration was really well. They just did last season, season three, or was it the beginning of season four? They did the integration of, oh my gosh, what's her name now? I can't remember. Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
The two princesses from Frozen and their parents and the backstory that
Her parents dead?
Yeah, but the backstory for the parents in Once Upon a Time, it's a really cool take on why they were gone and why they died.
I honestly think I get what you're saying, because I've watched some of the newer stuff and I feel like they were like, okay, now that we know that we need to do this and integrate more stuff, we can do that. But I really feel like the original storyline kind of didn't get cut short. It ended, and instead of developing more for those characters, they were like, we need to throw in more characters.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. But I think, I mean, if you've watched the newer stuff, I think because of the integration of the other storylines, the character development for the main characters from season one has taken a different turn, not a bad turn, but a different turn. And they're developed much differently than if they had just if it had been like Supernatural, where, you know, they go out and fight ghosts and just all the same people stuck in Storybrooke and they're fighting the same thing all the time.
I guess I felt like season two, the progression that could have happened was for them to go home, to get out of Storybrooke and go back.
Have you not watched all of season two?
I have not.
Okay, well then I will not spoil it for
okay,
you.
Okay, well then clearly, I
didn't want to go back.
But season two didn't start out. It,
basically, what season one is at, by the end, and spoilers, by the end they find out that Storybrooke is a curse.
Yeah.
Like, the evil queen has cast a curse, and what has happened is it's put everybody in every single fairy tale land that you can ever think of into Storybrooke as her curse, so that she can be the ruler over all of them, and nobody ever remembers their past lives.
And they don't age.
And they don't age.
They've been there for, like...
But the clock tower's broken, so nobody knows, you know, nobody... Some of the magic is you don't, like, that's not something you think of.
Yeah.
Like, okay. We've been here for 25 years and nobody's aged a day, but nobody really thinks of it.
I don't have a terrible problem with it. I think it's well written at most times. Sometimes it's a little questionable, but it's TV. It happens. And there are other times that I would not have taken the story in the direction they went. I really wish I would have gotten a deeper development, because starting season two, it's like into season one, they're like, oh, it's a curse, we can break it. Starting season two, they go, here's some new characters. Don't worry about breaking that curse and going back. We're going to talk about these new characters and we're going to integrate them in now. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but I want a happy ending for these people.
Yeah.
Or at least a go back home ending.
Well, we're four seasons in and everybody's still chasing their happy ending.
Yeah, and that's... And that,
which the way they've developed that is like, I wouldn't have thought to do it the way that they've done it. And it's pretty amazing.
And you know, it's not a huge complaint. It's not a bad show. It's just that I wish it would have developed better. It's way better than a lot of stuff that's on TV. Way better. And you know what? It's taking people on a regular basis into a fantasy realm, which only benefits, I think, the nerd culture. That's my opinion, because they're putting another nerdy thing out there that people can really get into.
And a lot of people seem to be into it. That's why I want to give it a shot. It's popular.
There's like two podcasts on our network about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, both of them are hosted by a 7-year-old. So, I mean, kids like it. That's cool. Jesse, TVs, movies?
Yes. Well, I talked about finding a new podcast called Sailor Business. So I've been rewatching Sailor Moon.
How's that going?
It's different.
Yeah.
Like I said, I feel a little creepier now. I've noticed things I didn't notice before. If anybody's ever seen it, the love interest is weird, because the main character, she states right at the front, she's 14 years old. The guy she's after is like 25.
Whoa.
And they're destined to be together. Yeah,
that's a little odd. 14-year-olds usually don't go for older men.
No, well, yeah, it's... There's a few like, creepy things, but it's still an interesting show.
Yeah.
I'm actually watching all the episodes, unlike when I was younger, and I just watched what happened to be on TV.
Yeah. Have you gone back and watched anything else from your childhood?
I tried to watch some of the old G.I. Joe TV series.
Terrible, aren't they?
It was. The movie wasn't bad.
The movie has a much higher quality, yeah.
But I think once I watched that, I decided that I should just keep the happy memories.
That's why I'm afraid to go back and watch the Transformers.
Oh, they're terrible.
Like, yeah, I loved those cartoons when I was younger, and I don't want to ruin my Optimus Prime fantasy.
More what? What? Phrasing.
Look, just because you took it there.
Phrasing. Anyway, anything else, Jesse?
He's more than meets the eye.
TV? I know that's what kept playing through my mind before she said that.
Yes, I've also been watching a lot of Louis Theroux. He is a documentary guy for BBC. It's on Netflix now, I believe.
Okay.
Nice.
He's going around America and documenting our subcultures.
Wow.
Things like survivalists, mm-hmm. Bikers, stuff like that. He tends to go in with he's a sarcastic individual, but he always
British.
Gets both sides of the story. his second season, he starts doing things that are a little off. He does one with the Westboro Baptists, things like that. It's a very interesting documentary. It's comical, entertaining. I've also been watching another English show called The Big Allotment Challenge, which is a reality show, which I tend to hate. But it's about all these farmers, not necessarily farmers, but people who work in allotments, which is like a small patch of land the government kind of provides people to work on. And they just try, it's a competition-based thing where there's a person eliminated from each time. If you like farming,
kind of like survival, or
kind
something?
Of, except with farming.
So if I'm an intense gardener,
yes, or if you enjoy goodness. Elimination shows, they judge on the best grown flower arrangements and some form of cooking, like making a jam or making a
wow
with the stuff they get from the garden.
That's kind of interesting.
It really is, and it's entertaining. All the people are enjoyable. I'm sure a lot of it's staged. It is a reality show, but it doesn't feel as staged as our reality shows.
Yeah. Well,
they're not as obvious about it.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, some of the, what is it, like, the making of reality shows and how scripted that stuff is?
I used to love Storage Wars.
I'm just like, really, guys?
Yeah.
This isn't reality if you're going to script it out and, you know, edit it this much.
You
it's
know,
not reality.
I understand Storage Wars is completely scripted out. And same thing with Pawn Stars. But sometimes they do bring in cool
Those
stuff.
Guys.
They do. Well, I was...
And that's the kind of stuff that I like to see, but that's not often enough.
Yeah. Well,
the one thing I kind of like about the Pawn Stars, I was watching something about them, and they stated it started off rather scripted, people bringing it in.
Yeah.
But now that they're them, people are actually bringing them that
the
stuff.
The weird crap. Yeah. And like, the one I watched, it was like, oh, this was a Confederate general sword. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's actually do some research. And they're like, no, it's not. It's a replica, and here's where you can see that. And the guy was like, how could you tell? Like, he was trying to scam them. So, like, those are interesting, and that I don't have a problem with those. It's when it's like... over-scripted and badly done.
Yeah.
And then they also create conflict inside the groups, and I'm just like...
See, that's what I didn't like. That's the one thing I didn't like about Storage Wars.
Yeah.
I understood that they put the interesting stuff in there because that nobody forgets to make a payment on something that has, like, a 1800s pistol in it. But...
I don't know. If it was my grandmother's stuff and I packed it all up to put it in a storage unit, I might forget to make a payment. Oh, it's just granny stuff. I don't really need that. I like that.
Maybe, but it wouldn't keep happening
after
week.
that's
in a
true.
Small community.
That's true.
But from what I understand with that one, they at least didn't know what was in each storage. So it was still kind of a gamble with them.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's reality shows are.
Yeah.
Except for the one I suggested.
So...
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Is it Shirley?
I am watching. Oh. I did start watching the documentary on what's his face, the guy. Ooh, Escobar.
The guy with the
Pablo
face.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started watching. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is that the killer guy?
No. Maybe.
I'm gonna go look it up.
He's not a very nice guy, and yeah, he did by the end of it, like. Before they took him or killed him or whatever happened.
Oh no! Yeah, like the foreign
he was a notorious
yes
yeah
he's a
yeah.
notorious Colombian drug lord. I'm gonna go with not a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's not the show I thought you was talking about, but yeah, that is a good show. Yeah. I've seen that one too. Yeah,
just started and it's all subtitled. So the thing is, I've never seen it before. So I'm like reading the subtitles. So I'm like missing some of the body language and some of the, so I'll have to watch it again. But so far it's been pretty interesting. It's okay. I'm on like, I don't know, the fifth or sixth episode of the first season. So
right on.
And there's like 72 episodes or something like that.
I did start watching the, documentary on HBO about Scientology, and I didn't finish it because I thought Shirley and I would want to watch it together, but it's an HBO only kind of deal, so it was, what I saw was very eye-opening already, so I only watched like 10
are they
minutes.
The standard these guys are all loons sort of documentary, or is it kind of showing both sides?
Now that you have left Scientology, why don't you tell us about it? Like, yeah, it's, these guys are all loons, but they're you know, presenting fact,
yeah,
as you know, as what it is. So anyway, I think that'll do us tonight on the Nerds Domain podcast. You should look over on iTunes and subscribe to There Are Four Lights. That's our new Star Trek podcast. It's fantastic and wonderful. And Shirley and I talk about Star Trek one episode at a time.
With a host.
With a guest host. Season or episode one of the original series, The Cage, is with Daryl Skills. Doesn't matter. He's the Trek nerd on Twitter.
Yes.
And then, you know, we've got some other people, some guys from the old Critical Hit and Major Spoiler. I said people, though. Real good people.
I'm people.
People we like.
And Jesse.
And also Jesse. Those are coming up. Those are going to be on every Wednesday starting September 2nd. So check those out. We will talk to you guys real soon.